Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is not about Burnley, Connor. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England can avenge themselves against Italy and Michael Owen is a very naughty boy. It's Friday the 10th of June. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
We had an early start this morning, so I had to get Marcus to leave the keys to the weekend under a flower pot outside his door. I'm a bit concerned about the fact that they're so readily accessible.
Yeah. Why did you tell people that? Then anyone can just rock up to the weekend, pick up the flower pot and
any chancer can now come and just open up the weekend early or late. Imagine that. Imagine the weekend doesn't open till Sunday because of you.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And we actually fucked it over the Queen's Jubilee, didn't we? Because then there's confusion about when the weekend even is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. We need to get a lockbox now for the weekend, don't we?
That's
like one of those Airbnb ones.
Is it not a bit like, you know, it has to be the right person to do the key to get it?
I think you're thinking of the nuclear codes. No.
Yes.
Two people at the same time with the key. Mm. Oh, you could be the other person. You're fairly responsible.
Or you have to have like a, there's a code and a key or whatever.
Yeah.
That's actually the situation.
Nuclear weekend. Sounds good.
Well, you had you went to Primavera, didn't you?
I did go to Primavera.
You basically had a nuclear weekend.
Yeah, It was great. It was excellent, despite the festival's best efforts for it to be a disaster on the first day.
But they didn't have any water, but you loved it.
There was no water. You had to queue for ages. There were massive, massive crushes everywhere. Which
did you go to Fire Festival?
People were saying that. Yeah, but I'm back. Everyone had a good time. They credit where it's due. They fixed it. So yeah, I mean,
so you didn't have water for a single day.
No, the queues for the bars were about 40-45 minutes long, and you could only get water from the bars.
Wow. It
was, there were three like water points, but the queues were obviously ridiculous there. They're really funny about you bringing your own in. It's like really, it was a lot, but it's everyone's had a lovely time. We're all safe. The Strokes pulled out, Mogwai pulled in. This is needlessly niche for people that don't like that sort of music. Let's move on.
I wondered why he looked so dehydrated. Like one of those dehydrated bits of, you know, lime that they put in a cocktail.
Thank you.
You couldn't even go for raisin, could you?
No.
Lime they put in a cocktail.
Bit of lime they put in a cocktail.
Yeah. Just trying to paint a beautiful picture for the Ramble listeners. They've come this far with us. They've listened for many, many moons. They've watched... No, they haven't watched any Nations League because it's very difficult to watch, as discussed yesterday. We're going to talk about a couple of games from last night. We're going to then move on to the big one, the preview of the big one. England totally going to just make those Italians pay. it'll be like the Euros never happened.
Yeah.
Because we're going to win a random group game in the Nations League.
This feels big for you.
But before that, Kosovo beat Northern Ireland 3-2.
In an absolute banger of a game.
The story here really is, well, it's cool to see Kosovo play. Pristina is as an unusual place to watch football. Northern Ireland, probably the story in the sense that they have now lost 13 games in the Nations League.
Yeah. Poor old Ian Barraclough. Apparently when he went to acknowledge the away support, the large sections sang cheerio at him.
Yeah.
Very,
he acknowledged it as...
unusual choice of word.
Yes, yeah. Quite civil, actually, for football fans. Off see you later. Off. Yeah. But he acknowledged after the game that he totally understood it, didn't he? I mean, that they're in a pretty rotten run of form. I mean, like, they are missing players as well. Like, you know, we saw Stuart Dallas get badly injured near the end of the season for Leeds, and then Josh McGuinness, Corey Evans, and Craig Cathcart, and they had a couple of newbies as well coming in. One of them who was at fault for the goal, Brody Spencer, for the second goal, which was a bit slack. You kind of looked at it and thought, you know, just from what I've read and watched of it, it kind of seemed like a lot of them were mistakes, you know, for the Kosovo goals that they could iron out. But I suppose part of being on this run is that, you know, you keep making the same mistakes.
I
can understand why the fans were absolutely pissed off as it were.
Well, it was only, 9 minutes in when Stephen Davis, who's the captain, made that stupid lunge, really.
Yeah, that was so dumb.
To give away the penalty.
Yeah.
So, as you're saying, it feels like when you've got into that headspace, it's hard to kind of recover from it.
Yeah. Even like, you know, and we'll say this a lot for the Nations League games, everyone is shattered. And so you never really know how much to take from this. But I suppose when you're on a run that long, you know, you can't really blame it on tiredness in the season, can
and
you?
That's one of the interesting things about the Nations League, isn't it? I mean, we all sort of broadly agreed that the friendly system as it was largely pointless. And the idea that the Nations League would come in and create competitive games was largely a positive one. But we did forget that it also creates the opportunity for it to be an absolute disaster for some teams. And I think like, that's kind of what we're seeing with Northern Ireland now. This makes it so much worse that these are competitive losses.
Yeah, that's
it kind of contextualizes your downturn in form, which would have been maybe, I don't know, like restricted a bit in terms of how much you'd extrapolate form from if they were friendlies. You'd think, oh, he's just trying new players, just trying to get it together ahead of the qualifiers.
It feels the same for everyone, really, doesn't it? Like a lot of the players will come onto it, but a lot of the players in the England squad that we really want to see, they're not going to get that long.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good point and it could be true, but he also, his record in charge of the senior international team is 3 wins, 10 defeats, and 19 outings. So it's not just a, you know, a Nations League blind spot is what I'm saying.
No, I didn't think it was, to be honest.
The famed Nations League blind spot.
Yeah, I just can't crack it. I don't know what it is. A different flag.
I still don't know what it is.
The music's
Why
different.
Why is the flag so big?
Portugal, on the flip side, they've only ever lost once in this competition. See, they haven't got a Nations League blind spot. They beat the Czechs 2-0 last night. Two nice Bernardo Silva assists in that one. No goals for Cristiano Ronaldo, but he did put away 2 against Switzerland. Has he been spooked, Jim, by the reports that Erik ten Hag has sent round an email to his new squad at Manchester United saying that he won't tolerate egos?
I doubt it. I imagine Ronaldo doesn't consider himself to have an ego. He probably thinks he's that just
or an email
really
account, to be honest. Let's be honest.
Who happens to be amazing and therefore acts accordingly. But I do like the idea that he sent an email around. It's very like, it feels about 15 years out of date, doesn't it?
Yeah. No fucker is reading their email. No football player is reading emails.
In the summer as well.
Yeah.
I deleted like all my email apps when I went on holiday. I can't imagine
really?
That. Huh. They probably have a different phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is it like, see Ronaldo at Man United? UTD.co.uk.
Well, presumably they just reactivated his old email address, didn't they?
Yeah.
Cristiano.Ronaldo at manutd.com.
He probably actually got a one name. Oh, no, maybe not. Would he have just been like Cristiano at manutd?
Oh, you'd be Cristiano@Ronaldo.com, wouldn't he? One of those weird ones. Although I like that when you send that kind of email, it's probably quite a smart move because if you send that email to a group of people, anyone who looks at it and thinks, oh, he's talking about me, has an ego. So it's quite, oh, he's smoking them out.
Or not, because maybe you're, like Jim says, maybe he could just be like, this is what reality is.
No, but if you send through an email like that and you read it and think, oh God, he's going to clamp down on me, then you see yourself as that someone with an ego.
Yeah, but your ego could be so massive that you're just like, oh, what's an ego like? Oh, that would be...
So you could have an ego so big that you don't know what an ego is. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you've like subsumed the world.
If you act in a really egotistical manner and it seems reasonable to you, right, that's because you're unaware of your ego driving your behaviour. So this
I've never really seen it like that.
Right.
Because I always see the presence of an ego as someone thinking, well, I have so much going for me here that I'm of this level.
Yeah, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive, to be fair.
Also, a true narcissist would just, I suppose a true narcissist would feel attacked probably by an email like that, because anything that like slightly suggests that they're not perfect supposedly causes meltdown.
Oh, I see. Just, like, okay,
storming into the like, training ground going, Cristiano has no ego!
Yeah, I suppose in that situation you would never think of yourself as a detriment to your team.
No.
Would you?
No.
And so the idea that someone's sending an email saying, I will tolerate no egos, would be like, well, why? We're doing so well for you.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Good start then, Vish.
Yeah.
Sends an email, gets his security man to push Gary Cottrell. He must be buzzing.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite a nice... I mean, he didn't assault Gary Cottrell, which is like, there was one person who was doing a stupid thing there, and it wasn't Eric Ten Hag or his muscle.
It's not a good look, though, Vish, is it? This is Man United. It's a huge club.
Yeah, this good point. This is Old Trafford.
This is Old Trafford.
Can't push people in Old Trafford.
This is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. No, hang on. Anyway, carry on.
Only push doors. Doors that open for you.
It's the best time to be a Manchester United fan at the moment, anyway, isn't
because
it?
Because there's no football, there's nothing to watch, and... The kind of optimism has started to creep back in. And also, because there's so little club football of any note, even transfer dealings are pretty quiet at the moment.
The window is just open, though, Vish.
Yeah, but you...
Not
you,
long now.
But you need, pages need to be filled and, for us to say, airtime needs to be filled as well. So you end up talking about it, but you have to talk about it in glowing terms, don't you?
Theory. Well, you can just make theories about... What
you can just lie to yourself, can't you?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, speaking of which... England play Italy on Saturday.
Yep.
7:45. They're going to wish.
That's true, though, isn't it?
Gonna,
that's not you.
They're going to wish they'd never beaten us at the Euros.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's going to be the outcome of this one.
If England win this, it's essentially of the same weight, isn't it?
It's essentially the same weight.
And they'll be bricking it.
Group A3 is going to be really shaken up by this one. It's top v bottom, Jim.
Yeah. I don't think. Well, I think the way you're selling it is like you've broken up with someone. You're like, oh, I'll show them. I'll look really good.
Yeah, and you get off with someone really ugly.
No, but you're like, yeah, I'll show. Projecting a bit.
This is your level, by the way.
Yeah.
Is that the psychology behind that?
I think you look like them. And them is a snail. I was thinking more like, you know, dressing to the nines and showing off.
Them is a snail.
How would you just look? You kiss its shell?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, carry on. Sorry, you really set me off.
Maybe you stick your...
I'm actually crying.
Can't get intimate with it, can you?
No.
It'll melt.
Please don't.
Move in with it, couldn't you?
The Nations League, Vish. The Nations League. Sorry.
Yeah, the Nations League.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think this means absolutely nothing, not least because...
Jesus Christ, man.
No, but in terms of revenge or retribution, not least because...
Fine, it's true.
Italy themselves are going through a bit of a revamp. It's almost... Yeah. And when, to be fair, when they won the Euros, it was a sense of a generation of Italian player, you know, Bonucci, Chiellini, had done their bit.
Yes.
And were moving away. And, you know, they're experimenting with things up front and... Generally, I suppose, you know, we're in a state, you know, Southgate referenced it the other day, talking about how, you know, more of the bigger teams, the bigger international teams in Europe are going to cycle through their players. Obviously, we had Louis van Gaal, you know, switching 10 players for the game against Wales. And similarly, Mancini's using this as a chance to see what he has beyond his usual squad, I suppose, because a lot of the people who are getting games are people who if this was a competitive game, probably wouldn't see any action.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I think actually the group is a useful one for England as well, because with obviously with Italy, with our recent history, Germany with the constant rivalry, and also Hungary emerging as a bit of a grudge match, one thing that we need to move away from, and hopefully move away permanently from, even after Southgate, is this idea of like the grudge match and these sort of like really kind of emotionally charged like revenge missions against teams because right. they simply won a game of football that we were both involved in. It's a really childish, silly way to, you know, create a narrative around the game. And it doesn't help the teams, does it? It adds unnecessary negative pressure. And it feels like actually that's been quite kind of minimal in the build-up to it.
Okay, so how should I feel about this game then?
I suppose you should feel,
just to be clear.
I reckon you should regard it as a bit of a marker for England's progress, but exclusively in midfield.
Okay,
because that's where that game was lost in the Euros.
Yes,
you know, England
but
scored
Calvert
early.
Phillips is injured, right? Or he went off at 14 minutes.
Yeah, it's part strategy though, isn't it?
Right.
Because England lost that final because of. They'd lost control of the game. They lost control of the game because they lost control of the midfield. They didn't really have control of the midfield.
It was really the same as happening against Croatia in the World Cup.
Yeah, and you could say similar to the Germany game just gone by.
You couldn't.
Well, you could.
You'd say exactly the reverse.
Well, no, you wouldn't.
They were completely out of control for the first half-ish, and then they sort of got, they weren't still amazing,
yeah,
but they got
back into it.
And they scored the goal, but it was completely out of control for, let's say, 50 minutes, but they actually managed to not collapse and formulate some sort of progress.
But that wasn't in the centre of midfield.
This is
what I'm saying, yeah. So
I'm just talking over you when you're making a publicly good point about something else.
No, that's fine. but like that was, I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? That was a remedy for a match situation where England were 1-0 down and had to throw people forward.
Yes.
Whereas it feels like England don't control these kind of games against those kind of teams from the start. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes from there. But you know, as you said, Calvin Phillips is injured, so we're not necessarily going to see a competitive full strength side. Certainly, Southgate's first 11. He even said before that he's going to switch players out. I do wonder if that maybe includes Tammy Abraham as well.
Yeah,
I'd be quite keen to see him up there instead of Kane.
I wonder if he'll start Rice and Bellingham together because it did work fairly well. It's the most obvious choice in there. Possibly James Ward-Prowse's ball recoveries are quite good.
He's quite snappy.
Yeah.
He's a quite underrated snappy, actually, Ward-Prowse.
What do you reckon to Grealish then? Because he came on and it was exciting and fun. And I've been reading about expected assists. The old guard will love this. You know how there's questions about, is Jack Grealish, you know, been a bit shit for Manchester City? His expected assists are the top of the league at like 0.3, I think, meaning that his numbers should be, it's like he's putting stuff on a plate for people, but they're not converting, which may be a thing about Manchester City. I'm talking about desperately needing Erling Haaland and people who can finish.
Interesting.
Do you think the Grealish thing is, do you think we're making a problem out of something that should actually be regarded as more of a strength, like having someone who can come on and change the game?
Yeah, this is what Andy said, isn't it? Because it works with him coming off the bench. We know for a fact that works, and you essentially bank that skill.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think we all like how exciting Jack Grealish is when he's on the pitch from the start, and like kind of, you know, against that, against the sensible nature of that point. I want to see him start just because I really enjoy watching him play, especially in a team I'm invested in, you know? And it's funny, isn't it? He's been talking about how at City, the idea is now that he does play a little bit safe because, you know, I guess Guardiola does corridor players in a sense because they are so, his style is so, so specific. Mm. And that's a complete reversal from how the sense before was that at Villa, he just did whatever he liked. And at England, he was kind of hemmed in a little bit more. So it'd be interesting to see actually a bit more of Grealish in an England shirt for that reason, to see essentially how that change in dynamic affects his game.
Mm. Well, I mean, that's spot on about, you know, how he's regarded at Manchester City. And I suppose at Manchester City, it's he was signed less because of the flourishes, more because of the raw materials that he has.
Yeah.
He's a good dribbler. He's got exceptional touch. He's got really good vision. And it's almost like when he plays for England, he would play two different roles if he started. Because if he started for England, he'd probably be more like the Man City Grealish.
Yeah.
But when he comes on, he's allowed to be the Aston Villa Grealish. And Southgate has spoken to him about that before, about when he sends him on, he just says, go and change the game for me. I think he said before he brought him on against Germany, go where you want to go, do what you want to do. I suppose you only get that freedom when you come on as a sub.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't really get that when you start a game. It doesn't matter who it's for,
yeah.
Least of all for this England side.
Yeah, that's a great point. So yeah, right. We don't want him to start particularly. We just want some fun.
How about he brings him on after 3 minutes?
Yes.
We get everything we want.
We've gamed the system. Oh.
Perfect. So three minutes in, just after Luke Shaw's scored, as we should have done, Gareth.
Yeah, and that's you know, he's a details man and he missed that one.
Yeah, well, we're right in. Roberto Mancini has been pleading for patience with Italy's rebuild. He says, it takes time. I cannot just invent players.
That happens a lot. I remember this used to happen to Arsene Wenger. Like after like Cesc Fabregas and various young players have come through, you have people going, well, why doesn't he bring any English ones through? It's like, it's like, you can't just like create them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Here's Henry Lansbury.
Happy now.
If you wanna hear more about, there's a good little episode on Football Ramble Presents coming up about Mancini. That
yes, there is.
A few bits of slagging off Mancini in there. That's in about 10 days' time. So just set your watches for that one. Tell you what, though, he might need to invent some players because Italy might be going to the World Cup, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Well, probably not. But
because Ecuador invented a player.
Great point. Ecuador are almost certainly going to be expelled from this year's tournament because Chile have discovered, and they've put a lot of effort in, they hired Kylian Rooney, etc., that Ecuador's defender, Byron Castillo, is in fact, Fish, Colombian. Now, if you field an imaginary player who's from a different country, in the past was what has happened in South American qualifying in particular, you get 3-0 defeat.
Yeah. I love that there's precedent for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how common it is.
So, what did we do last time? Oh, yeah, we just did 3-0 defeat, yeah.
That is, there's one specific example, but in this case, that would mean if all of their results were to be overturned as 3-0 defeats, then Chile, who came seventh, would instead overtake them. They came fourth, and then they would go through. Italy, a very slim chance, but nevertheless does exist, and is the sort of thing that, you know, people are involved in things like the European Super League might do. Italy, the highest ranked world nation not to be involved in the World Cup. So if you were to say, oh, well, we'll just pop someone in based on their coefficient, then that would be the team that would get in.
It would be scandalous for that not to go to a South American team, right?
Yeah, well, exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's a South American player, so it needs to go to one of their teams.
As referred to, Vish, you know, it's the end of the season and people got to write things that have theories behind them, maybe that they've made up.
It would be quite funny if Mancini, having like decided to go through this bit of a rebuild, was just like, right, we're back in the World Cup. Right, all you fuck off. Everyone come back. Yeah. No, Jorginho, come on, come in.
Yeah, it's incredibly, what do we make of this? They've obviously spent a lot of time, Chile, trying to unearth this.
Yeah,
it's worth it, right? If this does result in them going to a World Cup, but it just seemed very, they're a bunch of knocks, aren't they? Not like that.
I'd love to see a proper deep dive into how this happened, how they got the information about this happening. Because it's not only that, this is essentially an irrelevant point in it, but he's also older.
Oh, yeah. He said he was 95 on 98. I mean,
if you're doctoring documents, like
might,
that,
as well, yeah.
Might as well, yeah.
Absolutely. Makes yourself a bit taller as well. Why not? Just your height isn't on your birth certificate, is it?
Mine probably is, to be fair.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be very good at investigating this sort of stuff, which is why it blows my mind when
they
when
should put your height on your birth certificate.
Yeah, just as a guess. Why not?
Like 10 centimetres.
Expected height.
How big babies are?
Yeah, based on your parents, expected height.
Yes! Yes! Because obviously on American driving license, they have a height.
Right. Really?
Yeah. I don't know. They have a height and weight, I think. Yeah.
How weird.
That makes absolutely no sense to me at all.
Yeah, I think maybe just like, oh, your face looks like them, but ooh, you're shorter than they are.
Step out of the car, sir.
Oh, yeah. Clever.
And then stand next to me and we'll measure you against.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's go to your family home and see where they've done the notches on the wall. That's what they do in America, yeah.
Got it. Fish has been on some sort of cultural exchange, which has been very, very helpful. Speaking of which, former England striker Michael Owen has had to delete a tweet, guys, which is actually always a disappointing thing to happen if you see the veritable goldmine that is Michael Owen's Twitter. But this specific tweet is about the NFT project that he was promoting.
Yeah, don't worry. The tweet about him running over a cat is still up there. if you are worried, listeners.
Don't look it up. He was contacted by the Advertising Standards Authority because, as I think we talked about at the time, he wrote that my NFTs will be the first ever that can't lose their initial value. The ASA thought that was misleading.
Yeah. Essentially,
because they can.
Yeah, they can. Well, I read a bit about this and I saw it explained. Essentially, it can be launched with a floor price, which the NFT can never go below, but that floor price may be less than the initial amount invested. So that is, it's all confusing, isn't it? It's all just, it's all a lot.
For me, it was enough. This shows your good research and like that you are the stable beating heart of the Ramble. In the sense that,
which is why we're so precarious. As
it was enough for me to read that the Advertising Standards Authority didn't think he was right. And actually, to be honest, if like Vish had been like, "Oh, Michael Owen's done something stupid," I would probably side with Vish. I'm saying I would side with anybody on the other side of Michael Owen,
well, apart from the Advertising Standards.
Yeah, no, I mean,
oh, even them. Oh, I thought you sort of slagging them off.
No, guys. Ooh. No, absolutely not. In more NFT news, Vernon Anita is now selling NFTs of puffins. So get yourself onto
get
that.
Get yourself a puffin.
Do these animals ever have any like representation?
Yeah.
No, I mean like an agent. If a puffin was like, well, that's me. They're using a photo of me.
Puffins
if
are
you
so big time.
Pitch
as well.
Yourself to Michael Owen as the agent of the characters in the NFTs, it will almost certainly give you some.
But
aren't
the characters in Michael Owen's NFT Michael Owen?
I don't know. I mean, he's now joined the Football Metaverse Project as an ambassador, isn't he? So it's...
As an ambassador to who? Reality.
He doesn't even know,
does
he?
He's reality's ambassador to the Metaverse.
Yeah, it's the Wild West, a picture of the Wild West that you can easily right-click.
Well, now this is the perfect time. We've got to get to a break so you can get into your crypto wallets and spend some money on some... Michael Owen picks. Enjoy that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
A very good choice, Dion. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Friday. The weekend is here. Actually, I haven't checked the protocol with Marcus. It now occurs to me. Is it open from the start of the Ramble? I guess it must be, yeah.
No, it opens at the end. It's like you do the catch lock first, and then you do the bolt.
Okay.
The end. Yeah.
Right. Glad I checked. Time for some emails.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He's taking off his headphones.
I have to hear this every day.
Email. So good, Vish.
Yep. Jono has been in touch. He says, sorry, Vish.
I'm getting it from all sides today.
Yeah,
God,
what's
Jono got
yes,
to say?
Yes, you are.
We've missed you.
Yeah. So
and your pet slug.
Jono says, sorry, Vish, but I've had an early squeeze at the 2022 census and the results are in. Literally 100% of Aussies think your sad attempt at an Australian accent is fucking awful.
Wow.
I'd rather watch the first half of our pathetic showing and eventual bumbling victory over the UAE on loop than listen to you painfully stretch your vowels to somewhere in between South Africa and drunk. Love you, work, mate, football-wise. So I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself here by having a crack at the following three everyday Australian phrases. Now, Vish, these phrases are right in front of you, so if you could read them out in your best Aussie voice.
Right, so one of them is... Okay, to the first one.
Woolloomooloo.
The Western Sydney Wanderers are the best team west of Woolloomooloo.
Oh, yeah, it is quite shit, actually.
Yeah. Well, how good's your one?
Throw another tripe on the barbie.
Look at that. Even said tripe as well. Trope.
I think that's the accent. Do three.
Throw another tripe on the barbie and... Yeah, nah.
that one sounds that's much like the Australians that I know, but I am not Australian. So, yeah, how do you feel, Vish? Chastened, I would imagine.
Well, I think I nailed it. I've never had to prove my Australianness to anyone, and I'm not going to start.
All right, keep it coming in, Jono. We like it. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. So there is plenty of Nations League goodness to get into for the weekend. We're going to just dive through a few bits before we get to the game, ladies and gentlemen. Republic of Ireland go up against Scotland on Saturday. That is at 5 o'clock, a somewhat local derby and a big game in Group B1. Now, we know that the whatever the reverse of a football purist is, like Kevin De Bruyne, doesn't like the Nations League.
No.
All those dickheads. But this is actually quite an important game for Scotland, for Republic of Ireland. And perhaps, as we were talking about earlier, Jim, is the sort of thing that kind of explains what's good about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the timing feels weird, doesn't it? I think this feels like a sort of... they've never felt more like friendlies, and absolutely they're not, because there is eventually going to be something to play for, and they will eventually define what that thing to play for is. Mm. But by the time that's all settled, this result, you know, the points are going to be there or not going to be there. So it's
that was confusing.
It is, that is an assessment of the whole thing, right? Because it hasn't yet been... decided.
Well, they say
how it all works.
Yeah, that's true. They say, so UEFA say that we're talking about how these things will affect Euro 2024 qualifying, right?
Yeah.
And they have stated that three of the places at Germany 2024 will come from the Nations League group winners, which suggests that much like for Euro 2020, there'll be another playoff probably. They've also said that draw seedings for the Euro 2024 qualifiers will be based on how teams finish.
Yeah, exactly. So
in the Nations League.
You know, it's a really, really important game to get up for. I mean, again, I feel for Andy Robertson, who has had important game after important game after important game. But this is his final one, right? This is the last of his personal krypton factor, surely.
Unless he's doing Soccer Aid, which he probably is.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah. Although, who is it? It's Martin Wilkes, who's usually left back for England. Oh, no, so he's not English, is he, Andy Robertson? For the rest of the world.
Oh, right in, Scottish people.
Sorry, it's Matthew McConaughey who's usually left back for the rest of the world, isn't he? Yeah. So that's who Andy Robertson will have to oust. Yeah, yeah.
Good touch for a big man. Winning this group, though, could be huge for either of these teams, although Vish, despite all the knackeredness, perhaps Scotland look better placed to compete?
Yeah, they do. But I think they've got their own issues to tend with around like fatigue and things like that. So like, obviously it's Robertson, but there's also Callum McGregor who's played like... 60-odd games for Celtic this season. But yeah, they were like obviously not qualifying for the World Cup, and that loss to Ukraine was pretty gutting. But it feels like they, you know, with Scotland, it always feels like they have to keep moving forward. I think, you know, with more, I suppose that's, you can generally say the same thing about everyone at that level, but more established teams generally have the capacity to kind of stop and regroup, much in the way that Italy are doing now, and kind of focus on the next thing ahead. And not necessarily lose much momentum as far as like building a squad goes, but it feels with with Scotland particularly in the age profile of their squad, positive results keep that thing going and keep people invested in it. Like fans, from, you know, certainly, but also just people on the periphery, you know, like Ross Stewart is, you know, their forward who's starting on the weekend, or sorry, got his first appearance on the weekend, is someone who, you know, obviously from a low level than those players we were talking about in terms of Robertson and McGregor, but is someone as well who might end up being a better performer for country than club. And I suppose these are the kind of games where you build up that run of form. So, yeah, definitely more important, especially for, like, Republic of Ireland as well are in a bit of a state, truth be told. So, again, it's kind of, you can build this up as a rivalry after the event in a way that, like, we've done well, that was a rivalry, so that was a big game, rather than before, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scotland currently top the group on goal difference after winning their opening match against Armenia. Ireland desperate for a win after they lost their opening two games. Speaking of Wales, Wales versus Belgium, that's on Saturday night as well. Looking to get back after that late Wout Weghorst winner. Saw them lose 2-1 to the Netherlands.
Yeah, that was after a the weird game, goal.
Well, the game, the goal was weird, but did you see the Conor Roberts asked his club teammate, why didn't you do that for Burnley?
Love that.
To which he replied, this isn't, well, probably replied from what you could see, this isn't about Burnley, shut up.
Was he just like ribbing him as a joke though?
No, it looked really serious.
Was it really?
From the footage of it, it looked like a bit proper of kind ang. Of heat at the moment, absolutely furious at just having lost the game.
Right.
Saying his piece. But yeah, when I say Weghorst's goal was quite weird because it was a diving header, but he sort of headed it and then dived.
Yeah.
It was all part of the same motion, but it's in slow motion. It
trying to make
weird.
It more glam and more.
No,
glamour
I don't
goal.
Think he was doing that, but it was just on. It was the odd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, Vegas has already sacked off Burnley, hasn't he? Or said he.
Well, he's trying to, isn't it?
With
he's
goals.
Saying he's got offers from elsewhere, but like, I mean, he scored 2 goals in 20 appearances, so it wasn't like, you know, he's. I mean, he hasn't shown that he's better than that level because he was brought in to score goals. He didn't, and they went down.
Yeah, he says his level's not the Championship though. And it is time in the... He's not finished with the Premier League. But is the Premier League finished with you, Val? That's the big question, Visho. Kevin, what?
You took that really personally. Like, well, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of the Premier League. We don't need you. Well.
Elsewhere in Group A3, the Netherlands take on Poland. I just clapped, so that was obviously something I'm super excited about. Despite being on international duty, guys, Poland striker Robert Lewandowski's feud with Bayern Munich is raging on, which is what we like to see. He's now taking on Julian Nagelsmann. He didn't approve of him telling him what position he should take up for crosses, despite the fact that he is, yes, his head coach. He hit back at their manager. I've scored 41 goals in a season, not you. Hard for Nagelsmann, Vish, we would say, to do that.
Yeah, especially in those jeans.
Yeah.
Really restricting movement, don't they?
It's a comprehensive turn to a villain from Lewandowski. I love it. It'll turn on the fans next.
But it happened.
Mascot, maybe. I don't even like beer. Like it's.
but it's stuff like this used to happen all the time. Like big players want to move.
I think it still does. Yeah.
Yeah, but
the internationals is a perfect moment.
Yeah,
you can like speak in your own language, and then if it comes back at you, you're like, oh well, it's been mistranslated by the bastard media.
But in terms of like players moving now, we've spoken about it before about them taking a bit more control of their contract situation. Obviously, Lewandowski's in a slightly different situation this summer, and he's just like acting out. Like even stories like that, like. It's a story that is framed as, oh, you know, he's telling me what to do. But Lewandowski looks like the unreasonable one.
Yeah.
To anyone but football fans, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, your manager told you what, you know, advised you on something that you should do. God, what a dickhead.
Yeah.
But is it, I mean, up until this point, it feels like Lewandowski has been quite good and hasn't pushed things.
Yeah, absolutely,
and so
yeah.
This is actually a comparatively small thing, but it's enjoyable.
But I would say for that reason it's quite jarring, isn't it? Because it seems like the...
Out of character.
Yeah, but this is all like, you know, this all manufactured animosity for the benefit of just getting a move.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting sort of difference in position, isn't it? Because Lewandowski's position seems to be, look at everything I've done for you, look how important I am
yes,
for you.
Yes, that's true.
You owe me this sort of respect.
That is true, and, though, to some degree.
Absolutely.
I know that's not the culture of football.
Well, the club's position, though, is like, well, exactly, look at how important to us you are. Look at everything you do for us. We need you to do it. You have a contract. So it's fascinating to watch the psychodrama.
And if you can compare and contrast to the other side of this move, which is Sadio Mane, you know, and Bayern Munich's interest in him... Liverpool fans, certainly the ones that I know and have seen online, unequivocally like, genuinely thanks for everything you've done.
Yeah.
You want to move, fair enough. Go. Like,
go win the Champions League and the Ballon d'Or three seasons in a row. Yeah. And we'll get our 30 million. What a fascinating offer.
Yeah.
Fans of psychodrama, if you're still with us, it's now time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is where I'm fucked. Usually I have, you know, the four to score to help me through this. At least, you know.
Build up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Build up, you know, almost gets in the way. But no, nice to be able to jump into it properly now.
Yeah, we're all excited. Wow. A confident little laugh there. Vish has already claimed that he is tired. Jim, do you want... Oh, you said you had hay fever. So we've already got our... scores on the board. We've got our excuses at the ready.
In early.
Yeah,
I think
one.
Maybe we should add this to the game next time that you can each log one official excuse.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Advance.
I think pre-match interviews. You know, they never tell us anything after the teams come out.
Yeah,
it should be more like this. Like, you know, how do you reckon you do? I'm pretty knackered. yeah. I don't really want to be here.
Yeah, someone was really mean to me on social media earlier. I'm really feeling it. That kind of thing. Yeah. It is Mason's game. Mace's game? Kate's game? What game is it?
It's up to you.
We need
it's your
to
name.
I need to brand this shit.
Well, it's already a shambles, so you might as well take responsibility for it. Found the button eventually, didn't you? Leave the delay in, producer, just so we get the full...
It's actually quite slow.
Come out of the shambles.
It's actually quite slow. So I diss the tech. So, yeah, Vish starts on minus one. He goes first. Jim is... Seed three, Vish seed four. So you are getting the finger.
I think you're telling me where you want to move up to.
I think he was talking about what he's been up to with the snail. So, Nick... Oh, I didn't build up to it. I nearly gave away the player immediately. There's a man with four teams. Vish, you're going to go first. You're going to give us a bid. It's a small number of teams. You can feel good about yourself if you give me a bid for Nicky Butt.
Ooh.
Oh, I've stopped talking. It's because I'm looking up one of the teams, which is a good start.
I think I'll start with two.
I want to make sure I get my answers precisely. Looking at the face of Jim Campbell.
I'll go three. I'm not confident, though.
That's fine. You actually don't have to be confident. You just have to be yourself.
Yeah, well.
Vish, you want to come in with a big old four?
No, go for it, Jim.
Cool. All right, then. Hang on a second. Speaking of the buttons. Your three teams for Nicky Butt, Jim Campbell.
Man United. Of course. Everton. Oh, God.
I was so sure you were going to...
Yeah, I was really
to seeing who your third guest was, and you gave it up second.
Oh.
That's...
Well, who did you play for then?
Newcastle United.
Oh,
is the,
of course
is the second
did.
One.
So then... who's your third?
Oh, I was just going to guess at Sunderland.
Oh, right.
I figured you were going to get the two,
which I was
incorrect about anyway, so I might as well have a punt.
Yeah, a poor performance in some ways, but in terms of like what the people want, you've got to respect that, haven't you, from Jim Campbell, trying to go for the big three when he only had one. Manchester United, Newcastle United, a loan to Birmingham City, and then the fourth
Birmingham
one
City.
That I was looking up, South China AA.
Oh, South China AA.
Yeah.
God. You think it's Everton, it's South China AA. It happens every time. When am I going to learn from that?
Possibly on this go. Because Jim Campbell, it is time for you to bid on a four-team man.
Another four-team man?
Yeah, bit of a theme. Nigel Martin. The four teams, Jim Campbell, of Nigel Martin, all of whom he's played for on numerous occasions.
Oh, God, that's a tough one.
Retired in 2006. With no goals.
With no goals.
Just a little joke there for me while you squint and rub your face. He's writing.
I'm not confident about it. I'm just going to go two on these, actually.
But is he writing words, Vish? That's the question. He's bid two.
I reckon I can do three.
I reckon he can do three, he says.
Let him do it.
Go on then, Visho.
Leeds United. Everton.
Little neg there, nice.
Yep.
Crystal Palace.
Ah.
He's got the big three.
Who was the other
fourth
one?
Fourth team promoted this season. He played for them for between 87 and 89. His first team, Bristol Rovers.
Yeah, wow. I wouldn't have got those.
No.
No, that would have... I would have been impressed. But that was a good run there from Vish. Oh, my God, Vish. It's
raced into a 2-0 lead.
You're 2-0 up.
On serve as well.
Right. So to sneak into an unassailable lead, the confidence of a man who tells us he hasn't slept in 17 days. Your bid, please, of the 10 teams of Peter Odemwingie.
10? Oh, God.
It is 10. 10 tasty, tasty teams. Some of the...
Fucking hell.
I'm not going to... Oh, I mean, should I give you a little nudge?
No. Little, absolutely not.
Little nugget of ideas. No. Little tiny little nugget.
Jesus Christ, I'm having such a blank.
That's okay. The listeners are with you. They'll love you whatever happens. And you are 2-0 up, so you can play with confidence, with freedom. You're like Jack Grealish coming on
Peter
3 minutes
Odemwingie
into the Euros final. Giz a bid, because otherwise everyone's
like
going
to
just switch off. Fine, 2 is fine. Sometimes 10 is confusing.
Yeah, 10 is confusing. I'm not going for 3.
Jim.
So, no, I'm not doing it.
But Jim Campbell.
Save your own time. I'm not bidding 3.
Okay, this is for the win, Vish.
Yeah, I mean, but like, I only know one.
See, that's what I was hoping for. Let's hear them.
West Brom.
I'm going to say. Ding.
And like, he obviously drove there but didn't play there.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
That's in my head.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's the real head fuck.
Where would he have played?
Did he drive? Where else is convenient for West Brom? No, that's not helpful. Sorry. Just pick a team.
Right, so he's... I'm trying to think of countries he would have played and he would have enjoyed. I'm thinking France, I'm thinking Greece.
I'm going to need a bid from you, is what Kate should say, I think.
Are you trying to throw your voice? Go on then, yeah, I think you should just say a team, please. And the team is...
Olympiakos.
Lovely, that is incorrect.
Great shout, though.
Yeah,
that's exactly
fits,
the ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 10 teams of Peter Odemwingie start with Bendel Insurance in Nigeria, for which he played 53 times. La Louvière in Belgium.
Ah, La Louvière.
He did play in France at Lille.
Lille! Oh, I had Lille! Fucking idiot. Why did I think Lille? I had that in my head.
In my head, the
dumb
10
man.
Teams were just QPR, and he didn't play for any of them.
Nice to see if he now break. This is good for you, Jim,
uh-huh.
because he might be breaking down right before
yep.
you take him on for
that.
The next one. So yeah, it's 2-1 to the Jim at the moment. Lokomotiv Moscow is the next one.
Oh.
West Brom, you correctly stated, Vish. Cardiff City, Stoke City, Bristol City, 3 of the cities. Then Rotherham United and Madura United was his final team.
There we go.
He finished playing in 2018. So it's 2-1. Give the people what they want, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Right, your bid now, Jim. Your life's on the line again.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me your starting bid for the 7 teams of Fernando Morientes?
Morientes, ooh.
Did a little bit of an accent there, didn't I? Vish can get a bonus. Oh, you actually, you're not 2-1 up, are you? I forgot you started 1 down. That'll liven
matters
up.
Well, no, I am 2-1 up.
Well, I'm in the big chair today.
I think I'm going to go for 4.
Good man. That's the spirit. Quick game is a good game, Vish. And people want a decider anyway, so no real pressure.
See, I've got 4.
Have you?
You sounded like a proper football man then. See, I've got 4.
I've got 4, Jim. But you, I want to hear your 4.
Yeah?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, cool. So... Real Madrid, Liverpool, Monaco.
Oh, very good. A loan from Real Madrid and the 4th team.
This one I'm not so
he's
clear
gesturing.
On, but let's go for it. Valencia.
Oh,
yes!
Hamming up the tension, Jim Campbell.
That was my 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. Well, not well done, you.
Another guy who didn't play for QPR. It gets in your head, doesn't it?
Nutter. Albacete is where he started. Zaragoza, Real Madrid, as you correctly stated, Monaco, Liverpool, Valencia, and Forex. That was the order. Marseille, and then a non-pro team to conclude with Santa Ana. Okay.
Yeah.
It's down, boys and girls, to the final tie. The five team, Jim, you're going to have to play this one smartly because Vish, he gets to pick.
He's serving.
Yeah. All right. You'll serve then, please, Vish, for the five teams of Jens Lehmann.
Oh, come on. As if.
No, that, yep, that is the request.
Jens.
Play the game, not the man.
Oh, Jim, you might as well just take this.
Play the ball, not the... Yep. Jim's not looking that comfortable either, listeners. And...
I'll do two.
He's using an orange highlighter, so I don't know what we read into that.
I mean, I can...
Do two. Two is fine. Two. Is it in the slot, Jim?
I'm going to fuck this up, but I'm going to go for it.
That's the spirit!
Yeah.
I think you've played him well there, Vish, personally, because I'm not convinced that you could have done it yourself. So, three teams from you, Jim Campbell. We're absolutely on tenterhooks and we're very excited.
So, Arsenal, of course. I think he may have played for Schalke.
It's down to the final answer.
And my head is saying Stuttgart.
His head is saying Stuttgart. Jim Campbell's head is saying Stuttgart.
Jim!
Yeah! It's 2-0 down! 2-0 down! Smell us here! Smell us in the studio! Oh, yeah! Easy!
I'm the old bitch.
That's actually what happens whenever the button gets pressed, even if Marcus is not here. He just arrives. He arrives into the studio to celebrate the big Jim Campbell win. Jim! How do you feel?
Buzzing.
Oh, he's come back from a lot. Two batterings by Andy Brassel in recent weeks.
And then it was really, I was on the ropes there.
You were on the ropes. What do you think the secret was to the confidence going into, well, not even really
there
confidence,
wasn't any confidence.
Was it?
The secret was knowing the answers. The secret was knowing enough of the answers, despite a couple of poor showings early on.
You did what I didn't do, because I had Arsenal and Stuttgart, and I was like, can I just guess a random German team?
No, I did know Schalke.
Okay, so there you go. Right.
Stuttgart was the one I wasn't sure of.
Oh, it's all confidence now, after the fact, isn't it, Vish?
Who were his other teams?
His other teams were, Jim. Schalke was the first. Milan. Borussia Dortmund.
Ah, see, Dortmund I wasn't sure about as well. You can see Arsenal. I've actually crossed them out on the paper if anyone's
lying. You signed him from Dortmund?
I thought we got him from Stuttgart. I can't remember. It was ages ago.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Well, I thought he came from Stuttgart.
You had almost all of them. And then he went to Stuttgart after that. So the five teams have been an absolute peach for you. Congratulations, Jim Campbell.
That was good.
Commiserations. Oh, Vish is being very magnanimous. Unusually magnanimous, we might say.
I've written down the team. So it's the last two that I was like, yeah, you know, it's well won.
All right.
Well won.
Nice. It's nice to see the two of you bonding over Vish's defeat. Guys, before we go, just a quick one. Later this month, we are releasing two special episodes to mark the Ramble's 15th birthday. You might have seen on our Twitter and Instagram. We want to hear from you. We've already heard loads and loads of great answers and things that people have forgotten and all sorts has been going on over the last 15 years. Whether you're a long-time listener and you can give us stuff from day one or you're only a few weeks in, we don't mind. Tell us your favourite moment from the show and we will be reliving some of your picks. So get onto that. Just message us, send emails in, whatever you want to do, and we will indulge in masses of nostalgia. Hopefully you'll enjoy it too. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, part of the Acast Creator Network. Lined up, gobbing all over
each other. Don't say that.
Yeah, come on. Sorry, I cleared my throat nearer to the mic. Do you want to just do the thing again?
They'll just drop in something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to blow my nose. Wait.
Why can't I mention how phlegmy you are?
It's just horrible, is it? I mean, I did talk about coming on a slug earlier, so I don't
really have a leg to stand up.
I said you can't get intimate with it because it'll melt.
That's why I was crying.
I totally missed that.
99% of people will. Don't worry about it.
Good.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.